Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Tim. Why don't we pray as we begin? Father, thank you for those of us who can meet here in the building this morning and for those who are joining online as well. And we pray for all of us now. You would help us as we think about this passage and what you've got to say to us. Amen. Well, the last couple of weeks, we have been thinking about Jesus's return. We've been shown, haven't we, that it will definitely happen, that it will mean judgment for those who aren't trusting in Jesus, but it will be really, really good news for Christians, because when Jesus appears in all his glory, we'll get to go and live with him in the amazing new creation. And you'll have noticed our passage today is about similar stuff, similar ideas, but it comes at it from a slightly different angle. You see, this passage we've just read, it assumes that we already believe that Jesus is coming back. It doesn't try and convince us that he's coming, but instead it takes things a step further and helps us think about what is important while we wait for him. And so that's the big question for this morning. What will help us wait for Jesus' return? What will help us wait for Jesus' return? Some of you will have been on summer camps or perhaps school trips where you get sent a kit list. Have you had one of those? You know, a list of things you need to make sure you pack and take away with you. A sleeping bag and torch and swimwear and tuck shop money and your fancy dress costume and all the other things that are absolutely essential if you're going to go away on a summer camp. Well, this passage is a little bit like that kit list. What things do we need as we wait for Jesus' return? What are the essential things that we can't do without? So let's get our list ready. What do we need? Well, there's actually a surprise, because the first thing we're told is something that we don't need. We don't need a calendar with the exact date in it. We don't need a calendar with the exact date in it. You see, it seems like the Thessalonians had got in touch with Paul and they'd pushed him on this. They said, Paul, you can't leave us hanging. Give us all the details. We want to write Jesus' return date into our calendar. But look how Paul responds in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. There are some things that God, in his wisdom, has decided that we don't need to know. And the return of the exact date of Jesus' return is one of those things. We know he's coming, but we don't know when. The date is not going to be announced in advance. And as verse 3 explains, that means lots of people who aren't Christians are going to have a real shock. Because they'll be living however they decide is best, ignoring God, thinking they're in control of their lives, and then suddenly, like an unannounced thief in the night, Jesus will be here, and they'll have no chance of escaping because judgment will have fallen. But for Christians, not knowing when he's coming should not be a problem. In fact, it might be a good thing, because if we knew when Jesus was coming back, we'd treat it like any other date in our calendar. You know, that piece of coursework, well, it isn't due in for weeks and weeks. I don't need to worry about that yet. Much more pressing things to do. Oh, Jesus, oh, he's not coming back for years. I don't need to think about that right now. That's not a priority. Now, God has decided that it is good for us to not know exactly when Jesus will return. I think there's a bit of a warning for us here about obsessing over things that the Bible doesn't tell us. Sometimes people love to speculate and debate and get fixated on these side issues. It might be to do with Jesus' return. It might be about all sorts of other things where the Bible doesn't give us the exact details. But those kind of debates actually are rarely helpful. The mark of a mature Christian in these last days is being willing to really believe what God tells us, and being content to leave the rest of the details with him, to trust him with that. Well, we haven't got very far with our kit list, have we? We've just been told what we don't need as we wait for Jesus' return. But here's the first thing that will be really important for us. Our ID card. Our ID card. Which reminds us that we're children of light. I've written up there. I'm going to try and stick this on here. There we go. It reminds us that each of us, we are a child of light. That's what our ID card should say. Now, did you notice there's two groups of people described in this passage? There are those who live in the darkness, in the nighttime. These are the people who are going to be surprised by the thief and end up facing God's wrath. It's a description of what everyone is like by nature, actually. If we'd been left to live as we wanted, that would be us, living in darkness. Children of darkness. But all of us who are Christians belong to a second group. Verse 5 says, "You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Being child of light, that is a wonderful description of what it means to be a Christian. It reminds us that a huge change has happened to us. Jesus has come and he found us in the darkness and he led us out into the light. And we've gone from being God's enemies to God's children. He's given us a new identity, children of light. And so as we wait for Jesus' return in a world that is full of darkness, that's quite confusing to live in at times, it's so important we remember who we are. We don't need to get our sense of identity from how popular we are or how good at sports we are or what we look like or what our family looks like. Far more important than all of that is we now belong to God. We're children of light. And if we remember our identity, well, that should impact how we live as well. So have a look at verses 6 to 8. "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." As children of light, we are called to live differently to everyone else. Here's item number 2 on our kit list. We are to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, you have to remember at this point that unlike other members of the clergy, I don't have a massive dressing up box at home, okay? So forgive me for my breastplate. There we go. There is my breastplate of faith and love. As we wait for Jesus' return, we are called to trust God and his plans. And we're called to live lives that are marked by love, loving everyone that we meet. And do you know why people wear breastplates? Or in fact, actually, why they wear high-vis jackets? Well, it's to protect them and keep them safe. And it's the same here. You see, trying to live in these last days in a way that pleases God is going to keep us safe. And not because what we do is going to earn our salvation, but because it will stop us getting distracted and dragged away by sin. If we're trying to live for God each day, well, that will help us keep our eyes on him. And so we'll mean we're not surprised when Jesus suddenly comes back. Putting on faith and love will protect us. Let's think a little bit about what it looks like then to show love. So if you're sitting with someone, I want you just to turn to them and very quickly tell them. If you're sat on your own, just think it in your head, okay? Tell them, how could you show love to someone in your family today? Okay, next question for you. How could you show love to someone from church this week? Okay, next question. How could you show love to the person who serves you in the shop? Or maybe it's your delivery driver. And final question, think of someone you find it really hard to love. How could you love them? Great, do you see our lives as we wait for Jesus to return are to be marked by love. So we've got our ID cards, Children of Light. We've got our breastplate, the breastplate of faith and love. And we also need our helmet. Now again, remember, I haven't got a dressing up box. So here's my helmet. The helmet that represents our hope for salvation. Because you see, we might remember that we're children of light, and we might be very aware that we're called to love people, but sometimes we don't do that very well. We slip back into the old way of darkness, and that might make us scared. We might think, oh dear, what is going to happen when Jesus comes back? What if I'm doing something bad right at the moment when he comes? What will he think of me? Given we're all far from perfect, should we be worried about Judgment Day and about what the verdict will be on us on that day? No. Verse 9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him." If you're a Christian, which means you're someone who's repented and believed in Jesus, and you're trying to live for God, and sometimes you do that well, and sometimes you don't do that so well, you don't need to worry about what happens when Jesus comes back. Because he died for us. He's forgiven us all of our sins, past, present, and future. And when he comes back, he'll come back as our Savior. He'll complete our salvation as he drives away all the darkness that remains. You see, we need to make sure we're wearing the helmet of the hope of salvation, because it will help us look forward confidently to Jesus' return. So three essential things on our kit list: our ID badge, our breastplate, our helmet. Things that are going to help us wait for Jesus' return. But there's also one more thing. Just as we finish, there's one more thing. Can you spot it in verse 11? We also need one another. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing." Now, I don't need a prop for this, because this is a building full of people. And if you're watching at home at this point, the camera is going to zoom out so you can see everyone here as well. Just take a look around. Have a look at everyone else who is here. God has placed each one of us in this church family so that we can help each other live now in light of Jesus' return. If I forget my identity card, that my identity is in Christ, you can say to me, "Tim, look what it says on your card. You're a child of God." If I've had a bad week and I know that I've really mucked up, and I'm scared that when Jesus comes back, it's not going to end well for me, your job is to help me put back on the helmet of the hope of salvation. You've got to say to me, "Tim, Jesus chose to die for you even though you're a sinner. He's your Savior. You don't need to worry about what's going to happen when you meet him in the future." Do you see, we're all really important to each other. Church family really matters. I know it's a bit trickier at the moment, but we should always come to church not just thinking about what we'll get out of it, but looking to serve and encourage one another. Now, we're not consumers, we're customer service agents. How can I help you today? And even with restrictions at the moment, well, we can still go for walks, can't we? We've still got phones and email and social media. And just like the Thessalonians, actually, in lots of ways, I think we're really good at this. But let's keep doing it. Let's think of how we can be even better at encouraging one another and building one another up so that each of us is equipped to live confidently now and so that no one is surprised on the day when Jesus returns. I'm going to pray for us. Our Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is coming back one day. Thank you, that is really good news for all of us who are Christians. Father, help us now as we wait to remember identity as children of light, to be those who seek to love one another, and help us always remember the wonderful hope we have of meeting our Saviour on that day. Amen.